Dave Lapham, color analyst for the Cincinnati Bengals. 6-2 for the Bengals. That's what's happening.
Hooday.
Yeah, 6-2 is nice. First place, you know, you can't beat it at the halfway point of the season. Although they haven't come close to playing that perfect game yet, that's for sure.
Yeah, a lot of the games, like the Packers game, obviously the 5 interceptions are great, but they really didn't do much with the opportunities given to them.
That's exactly right. You have to capitalize a lot better with opportunities that present themselves, and you can't waste them. You know, particularly if you want to win on the road, and get games like this weekend's game in Baltimore, games in Pittsburgh. When you're in that situation, when the opportunity knocks, you got to answer the door. You can't waste them. 5 takeaways and only 7 points off of them, that's not going to cut it.
Now, you mentioned this weekend the Ravens are 2-1 at home, 0-4 on the road. What can we expect to see this week in the game between the Bengals and the Ravens?
I think you're going to see a typical, AFC North smash mouth deal. You know, the Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers are built the same way. They run the football and they stop the run. And the Bengals aren't quite built that way yet in terms of stopping the run. They've been inconsistent with the running game. So it's going to be an interesting matchup because the Ravens pretty much do well with the Bengals struggling at times.
Now, you mentioned the running game, and Jamal Lewis has been absolutely terrible this year, to be blunt. And, of course, Willie Parker really struggled before playing the Bengals, and then he went off and got back on track. Is this a game where Jamal Lewis is going to get back on track?
Well, it could be, but Jamal Lewis has had Curt Schilling surgery. I mean, he's got a bad ankle. Jamal Lewis has got tendon surgery done just like Curt Schilling did after the World Series, and that's supposed to take 12 months to heal, and he's far from that 12-month time frame. The problem is he had the surgery, then he went to prison, so couldn't really do much of rehab in a halfway house. And I think the fact that he's even trying to play is admirable. I mean, it's a contract year for him and all that, but he's not himself. I mean, he doesn't have the burst, the acceleration. He doesn't have the power at the line of scrimmage, the explosion that he's shown in the past. But we'll see if that's the case in Baltimore this weekend.
What about Chester Taylor? That's a back who's done pretty well this year for the Ravens, a guy out of Toledo. Is he going to get more playing time, you think, this weekend?
You know, I wonder. Chester Taylor had a big game against the Bengals last year in Baltimore. He rushed for over 100 yards against the Bengals. He's a pretty good downhill runner himself, and I wouldn't be surprised if Jamal Lewis struggles that they do go to Chester Taylor. I think they have a lot of confidence in him. I think he's proven that they should have confidence in him. And it all starts up front. I think one of the bigger reasons that the Ravens have struggled in the running game is they're getting a little bit old. You know, I mean, Jonathan Ogden's over 30 years old. Zeus Brown is over 30 years old. And Mulatalo, left guard, is 30 years old. So I think they're just aging as a football team a little bit.
To that point, who do you think's going to win the battle? Is it going to be the Ravens offensive line, or is it going to be the Bengals front seven? You know, who do you really think can win that battle from what you've seen so far?
Well, that's the big question. I think that's the biggest key in the football game. I'll tell you what, though, I was impressed with what the Ravens, you know, offensive line did against the Pittsburgh Steelers, particularly in protection. I mean, I thought that Pittsburgh Steelers would be all over, you know, giving Anthony Wright problems left and right. But the Baltimore Ravens offensive line did a good job of sorting out Dick LeBeau's zone blitzes and recognizing, communicating what they were supposed to do assignment-wise. There were no blown assignments, nobody running free to the quarterback. And Pittsburgh's a son of a gun stopping the run, and they ran the ball decently. They had a nice enough mix. If they had a better quarterback than Anthony Wright, they would have won the football game.
Now, Dave, one thing you always talk about are hidden yards, and I got a theory on the Ravens' offense and some of their struggles, besides the fact that it's Anthony Wright. But the defense from the Ravens is still ranked number 2 in the NFL, but they do not get the turnovers like they used to, and when they got the turnovers in the past, they used to be able to return those things to the house or give the offense great field position. And this year they're stopping. They're not giving up a lot of yards, but they don't get the turnovers like they used to. Is the Ravens' offense missing those hidden yards that the defense used to give them?
Yeah, I think that's a big factor. You know, last year the Ravens led the NFL 7 defensive touchdowns and 2 special teams touchdowns. So you're talking about 9 unconventional scores. That's just about as many scores as the offense had last year. I mean, they were really, really a factor in that aspect of the game. And that has been missing this year, and they haven't been taking the football away. So when you don't take the football away, it exposes your defense to more opportunities, and it gives your offense less opportunities, and then they feel pressure when they do get the football because they've got limited possession. So it is. It makes it a much different game. I mean, the Bengals are a good example of it this year with 28 takeaways. You know, it's I always call it makeup that hides all the blemishes. You know, when you're doing things poorly, you're taking the ball away with plus 20 turnover ratio. It hides a lot of problems, and that's what the Bengals have been doing. That's why they're 6-2.
You know, you mentioned 6-2 and getting to the halfway point. We're talking with Dave Lapham. I don't want to forget that. Dave Lapham, the color analyst for the Cincinnati Bengals. Dave, you mentioned 6-2 to the halfway point. And now that we've reached the halfway point, just real quickly, who would be your offensive MVP, your defensive MVP? And is there anybody who's really been kind of a disappointment to you this year?
My offensive MVP would be Carson Palmer. I think he's playing at an incredibly high level. I think he's a candidate for MVP of the league, depending how the season unfolds. I mean, he's got over 100 quarterback rating in 9 out of his last 10 games, 11 out of his 21 as a starting quarterback. He's starting to really figure it out. He's always been able to do it physically, but now he's caught up with it mentally in terms of getting them out of bad plays and getting them into good ones and everything that goes with that. Defensive MVP, that's a tough one. You know, I think there's a guy that I'd like to maybe give the nod to in terms of maybe the unsung guy. The obvious MVPs would be, you know, Delph O'Neal, Torrey James having a big year. Odell Thurman is a candidate for Rookie of the Year. Kevin Casemahorn, though, with Nia Williams going down, is taking on a much bigger role in terms of he's the quarterback back there. And the guys are making plays, but Kevin's the one that gets them lined up right. When other teams go in motion and change the strength of the formation and do all the window dressing things, Casemahorn sorts it all out, makes all the adjustments, makes all the calls. I think he's having a hell of a year. He's kind of the glue back there, and that's the best phase of their defense is what's happening in the back end in the secondary. And as far as a disappointment, boy, I don't know. I'd have to say probably the defensive front four as a group in stopping the run. I mean, you know, Marvin talks about 11 guys stopping it, but I think it has to start with the defensive line and linebackers doing their things in terms of gap fits.
Very interesting pick there with Kevin Casemahorn. You're right, he is second on the team in tackles. But I thought it was interesting when you look at statistics. You know, it seems almost that Odell Thurman, you know, kind of jumps out statistically. So I thought it was very interesting that you didn't really, you know, his name didn't just kind of pop out to you first, you know, when you thought of defensive MVP. But what's your take on Odell Thurman so far, and what do you think he has to do to improve, you know, to maybe get that nod from you?
Well, I think he has to quit making mistakes. For every great play he makes a couple of mistakes. He's an unbelievable player. I mean, he's a marvel physically, but he hits the wrong gaps and over pursues, and you know, a couple of play action touchdown passes have been his responsibility. And I think that you have to weigh the minuses with the pluses, and he's got a lot of pluses for sure, but he's got too many minuses. So I think once he erases those from the board and starts playing at a very consistent level mentally and not making mistakes and hitting the wrong spots in the field. And I think he's going through what all rookies go through, trying to do too much. I mean, he has to stay in his area of responsibility, his gap, and realize that if it bounces a little further, that's Brian Simmons' play. That's not your play. Because if you go try to make Brian Simmons' play, they're going to cut back where you were supposed to be. And those are the kind of things that he's doing a little bit fast-flowing, a little too quickly. But he's an incredible football player. There's no question about it. In a 4-3 defense, the middle linebacker is supposed to lead the team in tackles. That's what the defense is built for. You know, I mean, I think that if he wasn't leading the team in tackles, there'd be a little bit of a question mark there.
Now, Dave, this is a team that most people feel can make the playoffs, but is this a team that can make a run through the playoffs, or is it more of a one-and-done team?
I think if they don't stop the run, it's going to be a lot tougher because, you know, you get in a situation in the playoffs. I think they're balanced enough offensively to make some noise, but in my opinion, you have to be balanced defensively as well. By that I mean, you know, offensively, sometimes you have to run the ball to win football games, sometimes you have to throw it to win football games, and you got to be able to do both. I think in the playoffs, sometimes you have to stop the run to win the game, sometimes you have to stop the pass to win the game. You have to be able to do both. And I think the Bengals have shown they can defend the pass this year, but they've been inconsistent at best in stopping the run.
Now let's go a little bit off the field and take a look at you and Brad in the booth. Brad Johansson was our first guest, and he was our first repeat guest, and then he was our first three-time guest. So we've gone to the well a little bit with him. Is there anything that goes on in the booth between you two that people don't see that, you know, is something they'd be surprised to know?
I don't know. Nothing that I can think of that would be very unusual. I mean, not too much. It's kind of boring in the booth, really. I mean, you know, you call the game, do your job, and that's about it. I mean, I don't think there's any kind of quirks or anything weird or strange that people should expect to find out that goes on in the booth, really.
Well, you do a lot of broadcasting, and no matter how good a broadcaster is, they always make mistakes. So I'd like to know what your biggest mistake is. Now, I know Brad at one point accidentally said the 51-yard line, so I still kind of mock him a little bit for that. But, he's a professional.
Canada. That was the Canadian Football League game we were doing. Okay.
So what's the biggest mistake you've made in a game?
The biggest mistake, gosh, I don't know. There's been too many of them, I guess. I mean, there's been, you know, you always when the game's over, you wish you'd done, you know, a few things the wrong way. Sometimes, you know, you have a tendency maybe to jump a thought too quickly, and sometimes you regret that. You know, it's like you think that's exactly what happens, but if you kind of jump the gun too much with a knee-jerk reaction, sometimes it can come back to haunt you a little bit.
Dave, one last question. I know you got to go and talk to Baltimore about this, but one last question, and it may not be a quick one, but tell us about your relationship with Marvin, because at times you seem to make him laugh, and at other times when I listen to the press conference, it sounds like you really piss him off sometimes. So what is your relationship like with Marvin?
I think it's fine. I mean, I think Marvin is somebody that, wants to – basically, we have positions that it's going to be antagonistic, I think. But my whole philosophy is – as a broadcaster or a journalist, you try to do the best job you can. You respect the fact that he's trying to do the best job he can as a head coach. But you're trying to find out information he doesn't want you to know. Sometimes when you're hot on the trail of something, that's when he can probably show or appear to be the most aggravated. So I think it's just the nature of the beast. But, I really respect Marvin. I like Marvin. I think he's doing an unbelievable job. And I think he's going to be around here for a long time. I think he's as good a head coach as there is in the National Football League.
Well, Dave, thank you very much. That was very informative. And when you're on Sports Rock next time with the guys down on Channel 5, give George Vogel a little bit of garbage from us. Tell him it's from us.
Got you, man. No problem. We'll cover that.
Thanks, right. Dave.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
You too. That was Dave Lapham, color analyst for the Cincinnati Bengals. Gave us all the lowdown on the game coming up against the Ravens and, you know, a couple key things he hit upon. That the key battle is obviously going to be up front with the front seven for the Bengals defense against the Ravens offensive line. And, I mean, that's been the question week in and week out, and especially this weekend with, as he said, Jamal Lewis running on a banged-up ankle, and we may see a lot of Chester Taylor. I got to believe we're going to see a lot of Chester Taylor in this game, and I don't know why the Ravens have not gone to Chester Taylor more. To me, it's absurd.